This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, January
Director has a concern about a student and wants to talk to an academic and finalists in the college, where they want to talk to the coach on which the student is competing, so they need to know, and that can go on absent the student providing permission. Upon request to officials at another school where the student seeks to or attempts to enroll. The third area that the law is provided is to parents or legal guardians of dependent students, as that term is defined in the Internal Revenue Code. So we've always had the ability to do that. We have just never interpreted our practices in that way. And the change that Kent outlined is one in which we have decided to exercise that clause in a more regular fashion than we have had in the past, when there was clearly a concern about the health and safety of students. We have never hesitated to call a parent, and I would say for that matter, a parent of an independent student, if there was a health or a life circumstance that we thought we needed to involve parents. But when we've had students who, as the site examples that Kent did, who were not registered, and the parent didn't know that, or the parent called the advising dean and says, I'm concerned about Susan, she seems despondent, I'm not hearing from her as regularly as I have, you know what's going on. And that advisor knows that Susan has flunked 3 courses last semester and is on final warning, but Susan hasn't bothered to tell mom or dad about that. You get into a game of 20 questions because the advisor didn't feel that they were authorized to do that, and yet here was an opportunity where the need was there. So, in your course of the study, on the web, on the registrar section under information about student information, and referenced in the email that you get every semester from the registrar about student records, is a clear statement of what we've agreed to do. And as it pertains to parents, what we have said is, in general, the university does not make education records available to the parents or guardians. However, where we believe it is in the dependent student's best interest, information from the student's records may, at the university's discretion, be released to the parents or guardians of such a dependent student. Such disclosure generally will be limited about the official status, i.e., are you registered or not. But we may also notify parents of dependent students if the dean of the college or their authorized representative, the dean of students or his authorized representative, or I or my authorized representative determine, and then we lay out 5 categories. When the student has voluntarily withdrawn or been required to withdraw, so that's the case of the student's no longer here. When the student's been placed on warning, when a student's academic withstanding or promotion is at issue, when there's a disciplinary probation or restriction, or whether in exceptional cases the student otherwise engages in behavior calling into question the appropriateness of continued enrollment. So the other thing that we said in this policy is that we are determining that unless students tell us otherwise when they register, we will presume that undergraduates are dependent. But if students come forward and say, no, I'm not, and show us by their parents' tax form that they are not, then they become independent, at which point the policy as we used to treat it would happen. In other words, we would not routinely talk to those parents unless they were a life situation or health disease. And we also go on to say that graduate and professional students are not assumed to be financially dependent on their parents or legal guardians. So that's been the change. It's, as Kent said, much more consistent with how most of our peers have interpreted and been put in practice for us. We think it is minor, although we understand for students it may not feel that way. And we're here to answer any questions or hear comments that you might have.
Are there any questions? Representative Salem.
I actually have a comment. First off, thank you very much, Vice President Murphy and Dean Hubble, for coming today. my comment is surrounding the fact that I think that this addresses a very important issue, which is student health and student safety at Cornell. And it's very important for communication with parents to take place. But allow me just, since you guys are both here, to also bring up another point, which is that I believe that in the colleges, I'm going to speak of arts and sciences because that's what I'm in, the communication between the advising dean and the students isn't really a very, for lack of a better term, isn't really a very vibrant communication. I remember for the past 4 years, I mean, and it seems that the advising dean is sort of the first line of defense or the person who the parents would be calling, but I remember for the past 4 years, you know, the first 2 years, I never saw my dean, except maybe once, and I never received emails from my dean unless to tell me, by the way, we're going to withdraw you from all your classes because you haven't registered yet, or things of that nature. There has never been an email being like, I mean, and I understand that the deans are very busy people, but there has. I think that this is a good opportunity for us, since we're addressing the health and, of Cornell students, the academic health of Cornell students, to sort of talk about that, talk about how it is potentially possible for the deans to improve their communication, especially in a big college like the Arts and Sciences. I mean, I hear in smaller colleges it's a much nicer world out there. Maybe I'm wrong. But in bigger colleges, where the deans actually can meet, can talk to the students, have a regular sessions of discussion, something that makes the dean not the sort of figure that's only there to, you know, when you're going to get kicked out of classes, but rather is a figure you can go to and speak to, so that even when the parent tries to communicate with that dean actually has some sort of knowledge of you as a student, not just, you know, of you as a, you know, another person at Cornell, but rather of you as a person. So I think that's just my personal opinion. That's the comment I wanted to put out there for people.
We're very sympathetic with that issue, raising from time to time, and we try to partner with the college deans to facilitate better communication. You're absolutely right. It's something we need to work hard on.
As a former student, I'll find anybody who just underscore the need, even way back when. I think given the size of all of the advising deans often believe that the individual advisors are doing it, if you will, for them or with them, I think it's a point very well taken. And I guess I would encourage those of you who represent the College of Arts and Sciences to find a way as well to talk about that with either the dean, associate dean, David Freed, and given from a student perspective, we will underscore it as well. But taking advantage of the fact that you were elected by college, I would support your raising that issue with
them. Go ahead, Akram.
Okay. I'm sorry, just to follow up on that comment, Vice President Murphy brought up the idea of speaking to the deans or associate dean. I think I personally tried to communicate one time with the dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, and I was told that he doesn't meet with students. That's just his policy. Now, I'm not sure. I understand when the president of the university doesn't meet with students because he's obviously not here at some times, or, you know, sometimes certain issues, he deals on things on a macro level. But it felt very weird for me as a student of Arts and Sciences that the office of the dean of Arts and Sciences is telling me that they can't meet with me because, or he can't meet with me because I'm a student. I'm not sure if you, I guess if someone can clarify to me, like, what is the job of the dean of the Arts and Sciences if it is not to take care of the student? And I really apologize if I'm sounding hostile, but I'm just, this is a serious issue, and I'm glad you guys are here to discuss it with us, and that's why I'm taking the opportunity to bring it up.
I will ask the dean about that statement, quite frankly, surprisingly. The responsibility of the dean of the college is to run the college, hire faculty, establish academic priorities, secure funding, and I would say to determine that students are receiving the education that they deserve to receive, and there is a mechanism by which issues can be understood by the dean's office. So I'm surprised that the message you received. I would chat with the dean. I would go with, at least if he's going to take that position, to tell you where to go in his dean's office. If he was not available, there is an associate dean to whom he is delegated. delegated that responsibility. So thanks for bringing that up. We'll follow up.
Thank you, Vice President.
Andrew Wang.
Thank you for coming. I just had a quick question. So does this take effect spring?
This went into effect in fall.
Fall, okay. So before it was routine that there was no no release of records to parents at all, right, beforehand?
Only in the case of real health and safety issues. So if we had concerns for the wider issues, we would reach out to a parent. But if Susie's mother called and was concerned about her, what's going on, and was talking to me and Susie, that he knew of serious concern, he would have been much more constrained than what he could have said.
I think it's a good thing. But I have another two quick questions. So you mentioned, Dean Hubble, you mentioned some people disclosure of academic records is warranted. So what kind of situation would warrant the inclusion of
placement? Well, just say, for example, a student has been in constant contact with his mom and dad and has told them that he's doing wonderfully.
Johnny.
All right. We do have six more speakers, so I'd ask those asking questions to keep their questions brief and to the scope of this discussion. Next is Representative Asgary. Representative Hartman. Just questions, then, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
remember vaguely getting an email from Wall Street Journal reporter. Was that from the
city? Yeah, there was. I received an email, and I think a lot of several of us did. And I had no knowledge of the policy, and I was very curious, so I forwarded the email.
Yeah. You guys were busy last semester, but you also, it took a lot longer to sort of craft the response to these initiatives than I thought. So I don't know that we were really ready until late last fall to bring it to this forum. So I guess I take my share of responsibility for not bringing it to you sooner, but I recognize that you guys were very busy last semester as well.
Why is the, I'm sure you know, but why is the Wall Street Journal interested in doing an article?
They did already write the articles on the Friday between Christmas and New Year's. There's a reporter who's been doing a whole series of issues around privacy post Virginia Tech, and also around the health and well-being of students. There's been a national recognition of increased need for support for students, and so she's been writing a whole series of articles and kept hearing in her work about the kind of work Cornell was doing. Because we are frankly out front in some of our programming around Let's Talk, our alert team, and some of the other safety nets we have in place. So she came forward asking whether she could write an article here and put it in the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
So it was making it a very positive
article. We'll send it, if you have a we'll send it to CJ so he can share.
Representative Craig. And lastly, Parliamentarian Mazur.
Just one right there. You might take that one, thank you. Hi. What if it's the case where the student has a real need or reason to keep things, from their parents? If there's a dire need to not mm-hmm. have this information conveyed to them, what recourse is there for these students? For whatever reason.
There are certain very personal decisions that young people make that sometimes are incredibly disruptive to the relationship they have with their parents. So their sexuality, for example, maybe.
I'm more concerned with. I'm more concerned with, I guess, even Representative Hartman's point, and certainly more extreme example of this, but if a student has fears or something like that about giving this sort of information to their parents, or there's a real logical thought-out reason for this, what recourse do they have?
I think if the students really believe, if they were still dependent on their parents, so if they're independent, they should tell us that we don't go down this path.
Right.
if they're dependent and they believe that there really is not, there should be no communication with the parents, my recommendation is talk to the registrar and probably the agency. And we can find some way to flag that. I don't think we'll probably listen to this. I'm trying to understand that, particularly if the parents are paying for the education, which is what we're coming out of the law. There may be an exception, and that actually is referenced in the document as well.
Thank you.
All right, there's no one else on the speakers list. Vice President Murphy, Dean Hubble, thank you for coming today. We really appreciate it. The next item on the business of the day is the approval of the Arts and Sciences and AAP liaisons. Basically, as we passed last week on the standing rules, I've nominated Nikki Junowitz and Hallie Bergman to be the liaisons to Arts and Sciences and Architecture, Art and Planning. It requires a majority vote. I'll open up a speakers list if anyone has any questions for them or if they'd like to make a motion. Okay, the first is Vice President Lavin.
I didn't see really any hands. I call a question.
Second. Sure, I was, yeah.
There's actually a motion on the floor. Though.
There was a motion on the floor, and I have to entertain it, so, and it was seconded.
I'll withdraw, and they can introduce
Vice President Lavin has withdrawn his motion. Why don't we give both of you just a minute to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Hallie Bergman. I'm a sophomore at the College of Art and Planning, the major in urban construction studies. I spoke with Shannon before he left, and he is briefing on the responsibilities and the things that he's taking on here at the student assembly. And I'm also fairly familiar with the issues going on in the College of Art and Planning. And I do have contacts in all three departments, be it architecture, fine arts, and the planning for the so I feel that I can actively recommend all the parties involved in the college.
Hi, Nikki Junowitz. I'm a sophomore in the College of Arts and Sciences. I'm undeclared as of right now, so I'll probably be a history major. I work for Campus Information, Visitor Relations, and Tour Guide, so as a result, I definitely know quite a bit about the school. I'm also an Arts and Sciences ambassador, so through that, I've been able to develop a relationship with a lot of the more administrative members of the College of Arts and Sciences. And I've known CJ for kind of a while, and so I've expressed interest in essays, so I'm really excited about this opportunity.
Yep. All right, we will now open the speakers list if anyone has any questions. Vice President Gay.
I think you guys are phenomenal candidates, so I would motion to vote.
Second.
There's been a motion to vote, and some second is. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we'll move directly into a vote. All in favor of approving the liaisons, please raise your hand. All opposed. And abstaining. Okay, and that passes by a majority. So congratulations. Thank you for being with us. Next item is the approval of the SAFC P&T handbook changes by Ian Lessig and Jack Castle. And Taylor's here too. Yes. There's not, the SAFC has not submitted any document. I think they're going to articulate the changes, and if there are any questions about that, we can. I think it's a very small change, so they can articulate that. Yeah. Go ahead. Why don't you take 5 minutes?
The online questions are going to be on Sunday. We're really going to do next week. So we have the January. Thank you.
What we would like to do is add the price of each year so that it increases to $80 per room on each year so that we would like to offer a these particular changes as a reasonable fund to refund to two acts based on a maximum of $120 total. This would allow for students to pay for
Okay, so the two changes are the amount that you'll fund with the ads and then the amount, the percentage of the IRS rate for mileage, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I will open up the speakers list and we'll discuss this. Representative Asgary. Speaker's time has expired. Is there a motion to extend it? It's been a motion. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Speaker has a minute.
Yeah.
Yep, it is a. It will treat it exactly like the election rules. You can come in and change it. What would you propose to change?
Well, I guess the only thing I would propose is Dilley's going to have amount gone up, so I'm voting on the increase amount of administrative expenses by that much.
Do you have specifics? Do you want to?
Well, I don't know what you're trying to do, but basically, I would just say, how much is it going to be? $1?
$240. So that is an amendment?
Yes.
Has been seconded?
Second.
Is there any dissent to the amendment?
Dissent.
There is dissent. Vice President Gay, we are now going to vote. Vice President Gay, why don't you talk about your dissent?
Well, we can discuss it during the discussion here, but that's a relatively large increase and a notable increase in the administrative cost opposed to a proportional increase, which we've tried to do. I've done thus far, so I think we should at least discuss this before we do that.
We will now open up a speakers list to discuss the amendment. Vice President Gay.
Thanks. I want to thank you guys for coming here today. The two new co-chairs have done a great job so far meeting with us and helping to alleviate a couple of the concerns. I'm glad that there seems to be agreement on this issue of pegging it to the half of the IRS rate, so that's good. So the second issue of the administrative costs, that's a relatively large increase, and I'm not sure it's been researched yet how significant an impact that would have on the overall finances. The other two amendments which have been brought forward today have been looked at, maybe not quantified down to a dollar amount, but certainly have been looked at in the overall change. A relatively large change like that up in the administrative costs, I think that should be, if the Assembly really wants to do that, this should be tabled for a week so we can discuss that. And I think I'll yield to the chairs if they have any comments on this.
One comment in relation to that. One of the things that talks to the board is copying for publicity purposes, job publicity purposes, promotion, so on, et cetera. For the competition with the cost of the GMA Act, the show had up to
1 minute. Seconds.
We have actually a semester that we use. This change in the cap would have a significant impact on how much that money goes for further effects.
Representative Wang.
Thank you guys for coming. Just a quick question. I don't know if you know this, but do most organizations use the two ads thing they often have? I definitely have to agree with Vice President Gay that we may probably have to discuss about this, because I know Representative Asbury knows this stuff, but since I don't have the Constitution in front of me and I don't know things for 100% sure, I think we definitely should look at it and discuss this before we can possibly table it.
Let's flip the question so we can do the today and then.
Yeah, you have to get back on the speaker's list now. Just a quick question from the chair. You mentioned there were time constraints. Isn't there something going on this weekend, or would it be feasible to potentially table this? I'm not saying that we are. Is it an option for assembly members to table this?
Well, the online budgets are due on Sunday. Our budgets are due on Sunday. So in order for these changes to take effect, it's probably done by the president and secretary.
Okay. Okay. Representative Hartman. Mm-hmm. Two.
Yep. I have to agree. I'm not agree with Vice President Gay. I think this is too dramatic of a change for such a short period of time. But I am kind of concerned that you guys brought forward the team
1 minute.
I don't think we should feel pressure time on it. It should be addressed without the constraint of cabling or any of that sense. It is addressing.
45 seconds if you'd like to respond.
One thing to note is the increase in funding for staff is proposing to use
the speaker's time has expired. Representative Wang.
He already spoke.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Salem.
Okay. I just have a quick question for you guys. Is it reasonable for the budget deadline to be pushed back a week?
This is a deadline that's been in place for a matter of time, and I think it's caused massive chaos.
can you explain the quote unquote massive chaos?
Sure. When the park talks about it, a room in the Woodshed Hall is built for one student and students come in and if that deadline were to be pushed back, students would have to push back their events for the semester. And those sorts of events require one-on-one planning.
Hold on, you guys fund the event after the event has happened anyways.
1 minute.
We do.
So why does it,
room reservations, I'm going to do a best there for our purposes. You have to make the reservation for it.
Well, I just feel
just
even...
Let him answer the question.
Oh, well, no, he's done. I just feel that that because this change, even if the change is passed today, as like a president of an organization that's probably going to be applying for funding with you guys, like, we won't have enough time to be notified of the change. Like, even if we are notified today, as I have said, like, the budget due Sunday. I really don't want to cause massive chaos to you guys or anything, but I just think it should be considered that the budget should be pushed back a week. I guess I have a point of information to the chair.
Yes.
What can we do as a student assembly about that deadline?
Logistically, I mean, we can change it. It's a question of whether or not the Office of Assemblies can accommodate the change.
Is there anyone here?
Ari, would you like to address it?
Oh, there is.
Why don't you take a minute and discuss the logistics? No, the question is, can the deadline be changed so that we can look into this amendment to the changes to the PNT? Can we table this until next week and still accommodate the changes? Nevertheless, if Representative Salem would like to motion to change that on the second speaker's list, we can do that. And it's whether or not it sounds like you cannot accommodate the change, but that can't stop you from making the motion.
Thanks.
Speaker's time's expired. Representative McGovern.
Okay. Just in terms of what we talked about, I think probably the changes aren't so drastic that we should table it or we've done it. Another thing, though, that's important, I think, is since 75% of the second ad is subsidized, it's only $20, really, if they're going to have to find somewhere else. And usually, SAFC groups who have big events do put sponsorships with SAFC-funded groups and other groups as well. So I don't think it's going to be that large of a problem.
I would motion to change it.
Don't confuse
it. It would be good to change it personally. And also, the effects on SAFC are much larger than the $20 fee that the system has to as well. So I don't think it's really necessary to change. So just give her a money at this.
Do you want to respond to that?
I guess so. I think that, first of all, we should improve the community jobs so they can go to the effect immediately.
That's not the scope of the debate. The scope is on the amendment to the change, to the change. So, which is what is on the table, so we can only speak to the scope of that, Vice President Lavin.
I just wanted to reiterate, I mean, I think we just heard that there's no feasible way to change the deadline for this, and I think, because in my opinion, I think people are being a little inflexible and therefore would create even more problems for the student body and the student groups. The change at hand, I think, is fine for Sunday, and I think we should just allow the SAFC to do what they have to do. They're the ones who look at the budget to know what they're doing. So I cannot call the question.
You can call the question on the amendment.
Call the question on the amendment, yes.
There's been a call to question on the amendment. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Representative Asgary, take 15 seconds.
I have to before I leave, but I'm only proud of my motion to speak on it, and then I have to call the question.
Okay. All in favor of calling to question on the amendment, please raise your hand. All opposed? Abstentions. You don't. You know. A vote of 12-4. We will. It's called a question on the amendment. All in favor of the. Actually, Nasdaq, you made the motion to amend. Can you summarize what the amendment says? We're just discussing the amendment that you proposed. So just summarize that for us. Okay. Right. You motioned to increase it by $40, correct? Ian, what was the change? You said it was $100, right? And now it's $140, or that NASDAQ's proposing. $120 total. Okay, fine. So then under MASDAQ's change, the first ad will be funded up to $160, and the second ad will be funded up
to total.
Oh, 2 to 160. Okay. That's fine. Does everyone understand that? Any questions?
And then the administrative cost will be up from 200 to 240.
240, right. All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. All opposed? Sure, you're confusing me. By a vote of 2-14-1, the amendment fails. We'll resume the original speakers list for the changes. I have Vice President Gay. Vince, you're on it in MASDAQ.
Thanks, DJ. I'm glad we had this lively little discussion, and I would want to commend Ashley. That was very eloquent what she said. I completely agree. This is a pretty rational, two small changes. These can go into effect and groups will be notified. I'm sure the SAFC co-chairs can assure us of that. And I would just encourage everybody to go ahead and pass this so we can get this done as soon as possible. I'm sure if you talk to your constituents, they would say that their most pressing concern is the cost of gas and the increasing cost of travel. And while the sun adds whether it should be $120, $140, that's, like Ashley said, this is a matter of $20, and a lot of these groups should go ahead and continue functioning. However, with the increase in cost of gas, this is a big thing, and I'm sure most of your constituents would support this. And And just to address one complaint, this wasn't brought in writing. It doesn't make sense to bring two small changes in writing and distribute them to the entire organization when we can simply read them, say the truth. Exactly. So there's a fair progress for you. And with that, I would motion approve these changes. Is there a motion to approve the changes? It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? I heard Representative Salem first. 15 seconds, Representative Salem.
Okay. Can you just, I mean, people obviously are on the speaker's list. They should be able to speak on this. They are small changes, but they are nonetheless changes that should be addressed. I mean, I don't think we should push it through.
There are, for the record, there are three speakers on the first and one on the second.
Add me on the first.
Okay. All right. All in favor of calling to question on the changes, please raise your hand. All opposed. Okay. Abstaining. All right. It does not pass. We will continue with the speakers list. Representative Wang.
So for the travel restrictions you have, so it's going to be 50 cents, right, per mile.
25 cents.
So a bed beforehand is 15 cents. So the limit of travel is 800, you said?
The limit
for international. Oh, limit for international. So there's no limit on how much travel for within the So I think this is actually also the fact that you guys spent so much time already looking into it, I think this is fine. I think we should just approve of this amendment to the CNT handbook. And I yield my time, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hartman.
As you guys know, I'm actually against the traveling without a cap. But if by increasing it 15 cents, it could have drastic.
10 cents.
We have drastic implications. Especially right now, we can add 15 cents, so we use 25 cents. An individual could still go to Hawaii, which is 4,500 miles away, one way, round trip is 9,000 miles. And then you could apply for that GOTA close to $2,000 in the funding for travel for your one person, and it's funded as well. So you get $2,100 in travel.
Hold on. Yes, Arjun.
There's a limit on, it has to be the contiguous 48 states, right?
Mm-hmm. That was not a good example.
That wasn't in
the... Okay.
It's just international travel. They moved to
48
states.
Yeah,
we
should. Okay. There's something in there about 48 states.
Well, you can't start Hawaii.
Order. It's Vince's time. Vince, unless you don't have any other questions, do we want to let the co-chairs and I respond?
Yeah,
1 minute to respond.
It's
50 seconds.
I'm trying to crush you up. Well, I mean...
We'll stop time.
We'll pause the time.
I mean, if international travel is capped at 1,500, and so then what is travel to Hawaii capped at?
Can you just go for the base while we're talking?
What is travel to Hawaii capped
at?
This is
me. That's kind of an executive decision that John and I would make. That would probably be... I mean, this is the same discussion that we had last time, because like, you've got Canada, you've got all of
this. I hope it comes home.
I want to put an amendment on travel.
The speaker's time has expired. It's been a motion. Vince, what is your amendment?
My amendment is travel is restricted to $500 per person per event.
Would you be open to, since...
I
understand. Given that we don't have the document in front of us right now, would you be open to making that change next week, since you know, we'll send that out and then we can make the change since this is not pertinent to the changes that the SAFC has brought forward to us.
I kind of find it somewhat pertinent because the gas mileage is going to increase students' ability to travel versus
versus
the
current
rate.
Drive versus fly. Is that what you're getting at? Okay. Would you still like, so are you still making an amendment, or would you be open to, we could put this on the agenda for next week and make that change? Okay, thank you for being understanding. The speaker's time's expired. Director Fox.
Okay, I think it's just a matter of even however small the changes are, I think it's all important for to keep things moving along quickly, like we've done with other board members have the benefits. I'd also encourage the SA in general, if for people who
ever want to call the question,
I can understand if multiple people have spoken multiple times for the same thing. If there are legitimate concerns that people haven't had a chance to speak, I think it's a matter of respect for fellow representatives to go ahead and let them speak, and I would encourage you to think about that before you move to call the question.
1 minute.
The last thing is just fundamentally I'm okay with all these. The only thing that did make me in some other areas, I want to understand what Representative Salem meant in the sense that why would repeatedly speaking as a president of a group groups be unable to respond to these changes that we've been presented with in
20 seconds. Do you yield your time?
Sure.
20 seconds.
Simply because this such an increase in gas mileage can, first off, can encourage people to take on events that they might have not been able to. And so pretty much you're just giving them a change that they can't really benefit from, except that they're already applying. And I think that such a change that groups are going to benefit from should have come earlier.
Speaker's time has expired. Representative Salem, you're next in the speaker's room.
Just to talk about that, the deadline. I mean, I guess I'm as I said, like I'm as president of an organization, the deadline is already too soon. And then with the changes that I'm sure we're not going to hear about until tomorrow morning when Roxanne sends out the emails. Because she doesn't come in until tomorrow morning, we pretty much have no time to actually respond to these changes. I mean, there are trips that there's a conference that I considered going to, but the prices were so high. Now that with this change, I probably would want to go, but I wouldn't have enough time to submit my budget and everything online on Sunday. And I just think that I want to pass these changes today, but I also want to delay. And I don't think rescheduling. I mean, I understand the logistics of it. But I just don't think they're impossible. I mean, I understand it's going to be tough, but we can't just keep hurting student groups because it's always, difficult for the Office of the Assembly, with all due respect. Like, I mean, there are 400 student groups. There's one Office of the Assembly. Like, already, their packets are checked out February 4th for elections. That's this Monday. They won't be turned in for a couple of weeks. I don't understand what it is that you're going to be dealing with next week on the 11th. Or the 12th or the 13th. I mean, I just feel it's preposterous to say it's going to be impossible for the Office of the Assembly to deal with and just leave it at that.
Right.
I think that's ridiculous. And I would like to motion to make an amendment to change the deadline to next week. All deadlines to move 1 week ahead.
There's been a motion to change the deadline of the SAFC deadline. Or what? Yeah. Is there a second? There's no second. It fails. The speaker's time has expired. Vice President Lavin, as you walk out the door, you're on second, speaker.
Oh, no. I've called a question.
Second. It's been called a question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Representative Asbury, 15 seconds. Okay. All in favor of calling a question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people.
Did you get any?
Alright. Yes. It passes. It's fine. I am going to ask the sponsors of the changes to basically summarize them for a minute as before we move to a vote. We cannot, since it's already been motioned, to call the question on this. We should have the parliamentarian Mazza. We are not going to accept that. In a rule. Okay.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Do you have to dissent to the motion that's already on the floor? No one dissents to the motion that was already on the floor. So. There's a motion on the table.
The motion was already. They were having a minute. We already voted to vote. Fine. Fine. I will entertain it. Get a motion to split the question. Is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
There is dissent. Without going into a debate, all in favor of moving to split the question, please raise your hand. All opposed. The motion fails. We'll move on with the vote. All in favor of the actually, we'll do a roll call vote. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Do you have that list?
Did you get that list?
15 to 2. Okay, by a vote of 15-2, the change is passed. Taylor, thanks for coming. Thank you, Jack. He's not here. Next item on business of the day is. Oh, okay. I understand. I think there was a communication error between Vice President Lessig and I. Thank you. Okay. There was a lack of communication between Vice President Lessig and I. He asked me if he needed this in a resolution. I said no. I assumed that he thought that the changes would be articulated in print. I was wrong. We've learned from our mistake, and it won't happen again. Yes.
Okay. We're for the election rules for the next item on the agenda. I would move for three reasons. There is no longer issue.
You're moving to table them. Correct.
Right. Okay. I'm going to move to table them indefinitely, which means that anybody can pull them. So if we have any time remaining at the end of the meeting, we can pull them, and then we'll pull them, et cetera.
Very good.
Now, I'm going to have three reasons. One, there's no longer an issue of time in this. We can work on them over the rest of the semester. Two, we don't have the packets in front of us. I'm not sure why. The third reason, I guess, is a point of resolution we can do, and the last one is Resolution 12 is a charter change.
Right.
According to the charter, it must be voted on the committee.
Right.
For all the reasons, motion for it.
As the sponsor, we don't need to vote on it because he's tabled it. He's taken, but I do hope that you do bring that back. I would hate for the changes proposed by the Elections Committee to go to waste without having been voted, even though they cannot be enacted this semester. On to unfinished business.
I have a motion to move my resolution that I emailed everyone and that I printed in your packets to business of the day.
There's been a motion to move Resolution 13 to business of the day. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Resolution 13 is now on business of the day and will be looked at now. It's in support of Cornell's new financial aid policy by Representative Hartman.
Yes.
Are there any co-sponsors now? He has co-sponsored, correct, Representative Hartman?
Yes.
So he has co-sponsored it. He has 5 minutes.
Okay.
Representative Hartman is the sponsor and is the only SA member sponsoring this. Do you feel that this is relevant to the resolution? Yes or no? Don't look at him. No. Okay. All right. Then I'm going to end the speaker's time. Continue. You have 2 minutes.
Additional matters or changes, if there's more
right. I'm forming a speakers list. Representative Greenberg.
I've got a point of information from the chair. Can we all add ourselves co-sponsors? That's a wonderful idea.
If you would like to co-sponsor the resolution, please raise your hand, and I will ask Representative Hartman.
Can we do a negative if you don't want to co-sponsor?
No. If you would like to co-sponsor, please raise your hand. Right. Okay. Keep your hands up. Just yes, Ben. I understand that, but these individuals are interested in co-signing the resolution.
Here's the point.
Yes. We are continuing the debate, but for these individuals are interested in co-signing, so I have to reflect those changes. Okay. Representative Asgary. 6.
If I could see you guys in the line, this will show the hand how many of you say something different from what you want to do that, or show your support for the resolution. Just one. So Representative Donner.
Representative Donner is not on the speaker's list. Okay. It's been called a question and it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? There's been there is dissent. Second, yes.
Typos are going to be fixed.
Yeah, that's.
You will change the typos, Vince? Is that understood? That won't change the meaning of the resolution? Or?
Yeah, I woke up.
Okay. Okay. They can. Very well. There's been a motion to call the question. It's been seconded. There is dissent. Representative Dong, do you have dissent? Just okay. All in favor of moving to question, please raise your hand. Right. All opposed. Abstaining. You have 6 for that, right? Vince, you abstained?
Yeah.
It's 2017. I will push it over. So that motion passes. There's been a move for unanimous. Yeah, I'm going to give the speaker, the sponsors of the resolution, 2 minutes to discuss.
I just want to second what Representative Greenberg said, that the key that the State Department down there only, I believe, set around 7 billion at this time. So we have like 1/5 of the endowment of Harvard, and yet we're proposing a financial policy that's proposed today, which is huge. At the same time, there's some of the stuff that's still a lot of debt. We'll need
respect to foreign aid, we're not just not giving foreign aid at this time to
Vince, I must interject. I apologize. My math, again, my hotel skills are showing. The motion does not pass, so we will continue with the speaker's list. Representative McGovern, I apologize for that.
My only point was, and this is just came out to Daily Sun today. I think it would maybe be a little more wise for us to all look over the plan, see what it says, see if actually we don't think it's going far enough, see if there are things we might want to do the resolution that are, you know, like contingencies, like we support this, but we also in the future recommend that you pursue this. Like, I think this is just really changing that we're voting on this after it was written. As you just said, you woke up for this 10 minutes. I seriously, most of you have not looked over it. I haven't looked over it. I don't know the terms of it. I really do not feel like people have this resolution without people actually knowing what's about it.
Ahmed.
Actually, I yield my time to Representative Dahl.
Thank you. So, yeah, I want to say that this is really a great idea, and we want to support this. But the only thing is, I want to agree with actually, too. Since the teachers vote in 10 minutes, it's not so mature. And actually, I found something that I wanted to add to this, because as far as I know, it's an actual aid policy for, like, most students and for international students are separate. So, if you are to benefit the most student body at Cornell, you should not disregard international students. So, I just want to see if there's any possibility you can add this initiative to this resolution.
So, are you motioning to amend it?
Table
it for a week.
I think it will be wise to table it. So we can look it over and.
She motioned to table. So you motioned to table?
Yeah, I motioned.
Second. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Dissent, Vince, takes 10 seconds.
I would say that this was one of the biggest steps for an financial policy, probably in their history. And I think student body, we should graduate that.
Okay.
Okay.
All in favor of tabling the resolution, please raise your hand. Tabling until next week, correct, Samantha?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor of tabling. All opposed. Seven? Eight. I don't have Ryan here to count anymore. It requires a majority, correct? So it is tabled until next week.
You could vote.
I don't want to.
Well, sure.
Moving on to the next item of unfinished business. We'll move on to unfinished business. Resolution 7 is the transportation-focused generic environmental impact statement, TGIS, that's a mouthful, by Rami Salem and Andrew Wang.
I just want to call you out.
Took some wise days. In the interest of what time is it?
It's
in the interest of time. Please take 3 minutes and discuss.
Last time we discussed it, there was like recommendations that were made from my representative Daniel, and I went ahead and changed it. We wanted to just add something. I think, you know, we look forward to continuing dialogue with you guys in the future. We want to do any more amendments or recommendations to them. So, again, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to form a speaker's list. In the interest of time, because I know we do have other things that are going to limit speakers to 1 minute, unless anyone objects, we'll start with Director Coombs, and then I have you, Ahmed.
Unless anybody has anything really, really important to say, I would move to for unanimous consent.
Dissent. There's been a motion for unanimous consent. There is dissent, though. So we're going to, but you have to call it, so we cannot do that, so it fails, correct? Okay, so we will continue on unless, yeah.
Actually, can you, well.
It's still your time.
I know, well, yeah, basically, can I just, who was the dissenting?
Vice President Gay.
Okay, wait, Well, actually, I want to understand the connection.
Would you like to yield your time, Vice President Gang?
Thank you, Jim. As you mentioned earlier, Mark, there are a number of issues, and I actually have been, I've heard both sides of this issue. People have been opposed to this because they say that there have been arguments that it may not necessarily be such a good thing. So I think if people had a point like you made earlier, that we should at least give them the opportunity to speak. So, yes.
Do you withdraw your motion?
Yes.
Okay. Continue on with the speakers list. I have another Representative Ahmed Salem.
Call to question.
I'm going to call the question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will move directly into a vote. After, do you want to summarize everything, Rami?
Once again,
all right. This requires a majority since it doesn't change anything in our charter and does not require two-thirds. Would the clerk please call the roll? She doesn't like when I do that.
Yes.
Yes. Abstain.
Yes.
He's left.
Yes.
Matthew.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Ryan proxied yes while I was sitting at the table, so.
16, do you have that? I don't have Ryan to count anymore, so. <laughs> 17-1, so the resolution fails. Thank you, congratulations.
He's being funny.
It's been a long day, folks. Time now is 6:30. I'll accept a motion to either extend the time of the meeting or adjourn. There's been a motion to extend the time of the meeting until... What's that? Okay. We'll wait 3 minutes. That's why I did it now. Sure. What time would you like to motion to extend it to?
7:00.
Motion is to 7:00. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? All in favor of changing the meeting time, the end of the meeting, till 7:00, please raise your hand. All opposed. It fails. Meeting time is now. Oh, I did it again. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sorry. I need some coffee. So the meeting will now end at 7:00, and I will note that. The next item on unfinished business is Resolution 10, resolution regarding Mann Libraries, decision not to choose Cornell Dining for the current Mandibles location by Representative Asgary and Mr. Tech. Very well. And you'll bring that committee decision and you'll inform us of how that goes. Or is it? Great. Thank you. Maybe an announcement next week. On to new business, Resolution 12, the direct election of the Student Assembly President and Executive Vice President by Director Coombs and Representative Hartman. Because this is the first time this resolution is being discussed and it does change the charter, I will limit the scope of questioning to only questions. I will give the speakers 10 minutes to discuss the changes and then we'll move on from there. So, Resolution 12.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to give it a hand over to Ben in a second. The reason I said the meeting, we have to vote on this. Even if we have not discussed it today, due to the charter we're going to have to discuss and vote on within 2 weeks.
That's it? Okay. I am forming a speakers list. Please only ask questions. Oh, you stopped. Okay. All right.
I just want to make
go ahead.
If we really, really in our hearts of hearts want to see the FDA change, we have to be willing to change along with it. Mark Coombs
set this on November 14th in the Cornell Center. Align quoted Mark on November 29th at the aesthetic, and I sit before you today re-quoting that same mantra. The assembly's biggest institutional flaw, and at my mind, is how we elect our president and vice president. Student government is not made for a parliamentary system, and this is exactly what our charter entails. Parliament rests upon the notion of parties. Leaders are elected internally, but those leaders are active members of the party who represent the same views. When an individual elected member of the Labour Party of England, per se, that member, when elected, will support a member of the Labour Party to be Prime Minister. The electorate is well aware what policies the potential Prime Minister will support by choosing a member of that party. With student government, there are no such issues. We have no party. We have divulged away from tickets, and yet we still continue, and we're going to continue, to elect our president and vice president internally based on the assembly's assumptions on what makes a good chair. The president is the spokesperson of the student body, our primary correspondent to the administration according to the FA charter. Yet the student body has no idea who will be their president by choosing certain assembly members for office. We, as the student assembly, have a duty to make the election more open and more democratic. We must be confident in the voice of the student body, or else we have already failed as a student government. As Alon said on November 29th, the assembly needs more than goodwill and good intentions.
Yep.
The assembly needs an institutional facelift. The direct election of our president and vice president is exactly this necessary change. I do hope you support this necessary change and be willing to change along with it.
Okay, and you yield the rest of the time to the chair, or would you like to continue?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is we would obviously be happy to any questions today. Just as a reminder, just to remind you that this is debate will be next week.
Yes. Questions only. I will cut you off immediately if I think you're trying to make a point. I hate to be a jerk, but that's what the rules are. I know it's too late. Yes. Speakers list, please raise your hand just to make sure I have you. That's you, Basil. Okay. Yeah, you're actually first. Go ahead. Oh, you withdraw. Okay. No, we'll do 2 minutes because it's 7:30. First on the speaker's list is Representative Greenberg.
Scott, I was wondering why you decided to say the perfectly good resolution, perfectly good idea, which I support 100%, and do institutions come to court and you approve the association, first where I'm called here, but rather than the walkers led on selecting to serve the decisions of really by the call.
Questions only, please. Not asking questions of Representative Greenberg, he's asking questions of you. Okay?
Yeah.
Speaker's time has expired, Vice President Gay.
I guess I would start off by saying I didn't realize that we often solicited advice from the Sun and have them vetted up, have them vet our amendments before we brought them forward. That's separate.
Questions only.
My question is, did you provide any recourse for perhaps the 5 or 6 best candidates who would be running for president and EVP? Any recourse for them to serve in any capacity on the assembly when they're not elected? certainly. I said, did you provide any recourse for perhaps the best five or six candidates who choose to run for president and EVP and who will not be elected to serve on the student assembly? Don't you think you're going to be getting rid of a lot of qualified people when they lose these elections?
I feel an individual who steps up to run for the president and the vice president
1 minute
will be willing to take on a whole other responsibility in that sense of going against individuals with that possibility of not even being on the assembly will take it to another level in that sense. In class council,
I don't understand that response, though. These are the best people, and you said they're willing to take it to the next level, but they're not going to have that opportunity, because when they lose, and necessarily some very qualified candidates will lose, they will not be able to serve.
Well, my concern is if we had an election where we didn't have
30 seconds.
People who were running for president and not get chosen, and they just became
elected,
then the electorate wouldn't have made that decision. Like, if they didn't want to get elected,
My last question is, have you explored any other options as perhaps the two highest vote getters in the aggregate would be naturally elected as the president and EVP?
The speaker's time has expired. Are there any motions? No. There's been a motion to expend the speaker's time by 30 seconds.
I think fundamentally that is a drawback. Drawback to see nationally outside of it, with the best senators who run for president, think about their Senate seats, because it's laying a lot on the line.
Right, but they have the chance for a vice presidency to
pass the question. Exactly, Vice President. Yeah. Okay. Representative Rami Salem.
Yeah, actually, this is a question about the line after the amendment, which says, or shall be elected by a friendly group of people. I'm just wondering why they specify that.
I think that's a separate. I don't think that's pertinent to this session. Representative Craig. Thinking, questioning. Parliamentarian Maza.
I admire the sentiment. I
questions only.
Okay. How are you going to account for, I guess, unexperienced or non-suitable people running for this office? And along those lines, bouncing off of Representative Gaze, yes, people who, or yes senators who run for president and, you know, give up their spot in the Senate. But if you have five or six people very qualified, we want them on the student assembly, and then they can move internally. So how do you feel about that? And also, how do you feel about people who aren't qualified but may be very popular winding up in the seat of president for the student assembly?
The first way I'm answering your question, your first portion, is the electorate. We don't trust our student body, then we've already lost trust in our student government. So they should be able to determine who's qualified, who if they serve on the student assembly.
And as a follow-up,
qualifications come from the elections themselves.
But do you consider that the student assembly is elected by the student body, therefore they're responsible enough to pick up their own leadership?
Different people value 1 minute qualities and the candidate. And I know I use national examples in the last few years, partisan. For instance, in the Democratic race, the big thing is between Obama, who has no experience, right, and Hillary, the experienced candidate.
Let's keep our national politics out of this.
And as a president, so somebody who may not have experience, under your opinion, might not be qualified for the position. Say somebody who doesn't have experience, they might be searching for somebody who would be outside of the NSA, etc. So I think that the best judge of that is that, as stated in the resolution, is the electorate itself.
So you don't think that someone who doesn't have experience should sit on the student assembly, gain experience, and then run for the
office?
I think the student body might also be, maybe to be the chair of the student assembly, not necessarily might not need to be on the
student assembly. Do you consider the president of the student assembly an entry-level position?
No. I don't. I feel you want to be the
but
chair.
But doesn't this resolution say exactly that?
Become on the student assembly, you just become the chair. We had the same issue
but
2 years ago when we were electing Mark Coombs as chair with Sarah Bach, who was already.
The speaker's time has expired. Representative Basil.
So, real quick, so if this resolution is passed, it will become in effect one?
The only thing I can say is it will go into the charter.
But it's too late for it to be included in this election cycle, is that correct?
I'm going to interject and say no, because it's not part of the election rules. It's part of the charter, and it would affect actions that do not pertain to the election rules. It would occur after the new student assembly is seated. So it would go into effect.
No, that's not true. No. You have to run for positions. It would affect this.
By this charter change, it would affect the election.
But then we have to go back and change the election rules, so it can't go into effect this year. Where's Ari?
Before we have a meeting today, we have to check that box to inform that we change, right? My understanding, I don't believe that paperwork cannot be.
It cannot be accommodated, right? I think that's a question mark that we should be speaking to the office about.
I also need to interject that in terms of the financial point of view, we've already hired a company to do this online for the voting, so this logistically may also be difficult because they would have to change the electronic platform that people vote on.
Well, that's why we're running for it. We can discuss that with the office.
Okay, that's something we'll bring up with the office. Right. Representative Basil has 30 seconds. He's yielded his time to the chair, Representative Wang.
What do you feel like the student undergraduate student body would prefer that this president be representative of the students? That the president, do you feel like the president represents the undergraduate student body, and that this resolution would encourage, would inform the student body that the president is elected to represent students and is representative of the student undergraduate student body?
Right. Well, Andrew Mintzler was just talking about this. One of the rationale behind this resolution is there's largely, I think everybody in the team and their day-to-day life can tell people they're on the student assembly. There's largely a disconnect between, I mean, at a very personal level, between the student body and the student assembly. A lot of people just don't understand
1 minute.
What's going on here, or they may know you and they might kind of joke about the NSA, et cetera. This would hopefully make people feel like a more intimate part of the process, like they have more invested in the NSA. So if there's a big presidential election on campus, people would get behind these people and they would feel really invested in that, invested in the outcome. They would then likely hold that person more accountable to his promises, would follow up more with it, would wonder why they didn't say anything about it in time.
30 seconds.
So do you think experience is needed to run as president or vice president, or do you feel like you have to have experience to run as president?
Well, yeah, it's basically like, you know, what Ben and I were saying. Different people value different qualities. One thing I would add is one of the reasons that I really wanted to sign in is director of elections. It is my firm belief that if this were in place, turnout would rise dramatically. I think everybody would realize that. If you had a presidential election, not just people running for, you know, a spot on the SA, interest would rise.
Speaker's time has expired. Representative Ahmed Salem.
Thank you, CJ. I have a question for you guys. Have you considered making the vice president of finance an elected position, as well as seeing that is sort of what our biggest, I mean, the vice president of finance, especially in a byline funding year, is sort of one of the most important positions on the e-board, arguably more important.
Just a question about the vice president of finance.
Yeah, that's the question. So have you guys considered that?
Okay, well, actually, fundamentally, the concern there, my concern there is, whereas the president and the executive vice president are, they can see the edge. There are different styles of leadership, like that. Different people have different qualities.
Yeah.
The vice president for finance is a person who is perhaps best vetted by a smaller group of individuals. So,
okay.
In that case, those skills are, there aren't any different qualities there. The person has to know finance, obviously. Whereas, like I said, a president can vary the style of leadership.
Okay, thank you.
It's the speaker's time.
I'm done then.
Okay.
I just have has it expired, CJ?
Not yet. We have 30 seconds.
I was going to make a motion to table the resolution. How many speakers are after?
There's one more after you, Representative McGovern, and then two on the second speaker.
Okay, I just withdraw my motion.
The speaker has withdrawn his motion, and his time. Do you yield the rest of your time to me?
I yield it to Mark Coombs and Vince. They have to have something.
10 seconds.
I have something to say that the Assembly is vested with the students' money, and the Vice President of Finance acts as our.
The speaker's time has expired. Representative McGovern. Okay, Vince.
My question is actually going to be kind of the same, but also in terms of why not also, I think CGI is definitely something that should be internally voted on, but why not?
Sure. I spoke once.
I think
he's dead.
To answer the question very honestly, one of the things is this will obviously be a dramatic change. Making the entire executive board elected in this fashion would be an even more dramatic change. I think this would be dramatic. I think to shape the process too violently from the get go, that has a very real possibility of approval to the pretty damaging. I think this would be interesting. I think that would be an interesting question to approach after we see the effect that this alone would have on election and this would have on the group dynamics of the next executive committee.
One minute.
Those officers you mentioned would be chosen internally while the president and vice president would come from outside. I think it's interesting to evaluate that, and then after whenever this would be applying for the first time, would be interesting to evaluate it again, whether that worked out the best or whether we should look at doing this for all of them.
There's 30 seconds left. Ashley, do you know?
Okay. Yield.
Representative Asgary.
Thank you. There was a report about what happened to the staff. So the question to you is Mark Swords,
what would I personally have done?
I don't think that's relevant to the debate.
I'm going to ask you a question.
The time is to ask. Are you making a point? What is your point of information?
That's
a
or a subjective answer?
I have never been the VP for internal operations, though in the past I think I believe Vice Presidents Greenberg, Lavin, and Lessig have used people who have expressed interest either through running or through filling out applications on the Assembly's website. I don't have information as to the those who have lost elections and do serve on current committees. There's been a motion to table.
Second.
It's been seconded. There is dissent.
Point of information to the chair. I'm going to move to table. There is further charter we have to vote on next week.
It would be voted on next week. It is redundant, but it's a motion, and tabling it would, in essence, end whatever is on the agenda, and we would adjourn the meeting. For the record, there is one person on the first speaker's list, and there are three on the second. There is dissent. Representative Craig, why don't you take 10 seconds?
I just have simply one quick question to ask, and I can move to table right after that.
Okay. All in favor of tabling the resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed. The motion fails. Representative Craig is on the speaker's list and is next.
Okay. My question is going along with a lot of questions focusing on voter outcomes and what democratic policies that's represented. How would you feel if we had a central vice president election before we had a regular student assembly election so that individuals from the student body really want someone on the student assembly to have the opportunity to say the president doesn't know when he comes down to see what for now, but they still the next day run for the seat. How would you feel about having a president and vice president election and then having a regular student assembly election another day?
Vince raised the point that I think it's an intriguing idea. I think that the problem you encounter is the individuals who could run for president or vice president would have, in essence, it would be ambiguous with the early campaign rule if they were to run for the regular SAC. They would have already gotten a lot of publicity in an election. I think it is something to look at, but we would also have to consider that ambiguity and how that would work.
30 seconds left, Asa.
Could I take 30 seconds, 20 seconds to respond?
Financially,
over the next 2 years, we've budgeted the same amount for the SA that we have this year. And going off of this current budget, we wouldn't be able to have a separate election. There's just not the finances for it. And if we choose the same platform we do, we simply would run out of money. So that's at least for the next 3 years, unless we cut off another program or get rid of something. We wouldn't be able to logistically do that.
The first speaker's list is empty. Would anyone like to speak for the first time? All right. We will now move on to the second speaker's list, and in the interest of time, I will limit speakers to 1 minute. Parliamentarian Mazza.
As a real quick aside, if we did that, somebody would need to be around when Ari Epstein's head exploded. Three questions real quick. You said that you thought this presidential election would increase voter turnout. I was curious if you have any data to support that, if you knew the turnout for the student trustee election, because that is arguably the most direct voice for students to the administration or to the trustees.
30 seconds.
You would think that would have a higher turnout than the normal one. Also, you said that Vice President of Finance should have more experience, and that's why it shouldn't be indirectly or directly elected by the student body. Do you not think that the president, who deals with all levels of the administration, President Scorton to Susan Murphy to Ken Hubble, needs some degree of experience dealing with these people and not just somebody who thought it would be a fun idea?
I'm extending the speaker's time by a minute so that the sponsors of the resolution can answer the questions.
Right. To answer your first question, Michael Link, no, I have no data. I have no numbers to show you. I have nothing to print out. with you. I have nothing to even allude to. I have no website. I have nothing. The only thing I have is my obvious, my judgment as being on campus for 4 years.
How about
being number 2 on the keyboard land here? I have no idea.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if. I mean, I can. The only thing I can show you is I've talked, for instance, to the president of Florida at A&M. They have an election like this. They spent $20,000 on the campaign, and the entire campaign was billboards, etc. That's pretty telling.
Could you address the part about the experience, please?
Yeah, I answer the third question. For the vice president of
finance. The speaker's time has expired. Yes. I will be vigilant on that, and we will keep questions to the scope of the resolution. Were you making a motion? The speaker's time has expired. Vice President again.
Thanks. AC, you lied. You promised you would adjourn. It's okay. I'm a motion. I motion to it. Thank you guys for speaking, but I do motion to adjourn.
It's been a motion to adjourn the meeting. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Thanks, folks. Sorry. Hold on. We have to go into executive session to elect a new chair of the Environmental Committee. So, I call a meeting to order. It's 6:50.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.